And it is time now for Shrink Wrap, and Robin's here. And good morning, Robin. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Hi, Emily.
Hello.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful sunny day out there here in Haines, Alaska. And Robin's here to maybe boost our mental health a little and help understand some things that are going on up there. So welcome.
Thank you. Okay, well, here we go into the present moment as we have it. Today, before we get going, I want to let listeners know that Shrink Wrap is now on khns.org, and so you can go to khns.org, go up to listen, click that, scroll down, and among other programs that are recorded that you can listen to, Shrink Wrap is there. So you can click on Shrink Wrap and hear an episode. And you can also send your emails to me for sharing your concerns, your comments, and any questions that you would like for me to address at shrinkwrap.wrap@gmail.com. So, here we go, into the present. Today I wanted to talk about the idea of presence. And when we speak about being present, being in the moment, what does this actually mean? People say, be here now. How do we get here, there? And do we really need to be thinking about this? Well, here's an example. Carol is at a party, and her husband is there. She's met a few people several times in the past years who are at the party, but most are unknown to her. She sees herself as needing to connect with people, but suddenly her jaw is tight. And she notices that she feels impatient and anxious. Her heart races a bit, and she notices as people mingle that she begins to think of them in different ways, like, that person is not very interesting. Oh, that person over there, I can tell that they're closed-minded. I think that person is really arrogant. And she realizes, though, that she hasn't even had a meaningful conversation with any of these people. And she's already summed them up. And she has decided that she is not going to fit into this group, and she's very uncomfortable. However, Carol's saving grace is that she is aware that she's casting people into roles and that this is happening in the absence of any real experience with them, and that she knows she's now on the losing end of things. So she finds herself taking a deep breath. And in her next opportunity to connect with someone, she works really hard to maintain direct eye contact, to listen, and to try to learn about this person. And she notices that the tension in her body subsides and fear starts to melt away. This is not a totally comfortable situation for her, but she is noticing that she's able to maintain connection to the present, and she knows she can duplicate this way of being, therefore, and she makes a number of efforts to exercise this option throughout the evening. So, what began as an uptight experience has transformed into a fulfilled and even pleasant event. And then Carol emerges feeling relaxed with positive feelings, including some good feelings about herself, because now she has some pride in herself for getting unstuck in what she notices is a familiar pattern. So, what happened here? Well, presence involves flexible movement in and out of layers of experience so that we're not locked into a rigid notion about what is really likely to happen, because we don't know. And once she recognized how her way of thinking about others affected her, Carol found the strength of will to let go of ideas which were threatening and beginning to isolate her. She paid attention to her inner monologue, you know, what people call their baggage or their tapes in their head, and she came to see that her negative ideas were resulting in bodily sensations, physical sensations that included making her feel tense, as I said, her jaw was tight, Her stance was kind of rigid, and she was starting to feel spaced out as a result. And so, in a state of being preoccupied with how disappointing people are, or in this case, how disappointing she began to see them as, initially she couldn't find a way to relate. And this, of course, resulted in her feeling alienated. Daniel Siegel, who is a psychotherapist and professor of psychiatry at UCLA and co-director of the Mindful Awareness Research Center, says, quote, "We can learn to loosen the grip of habit and ingrained aspects of what we call personality to become more mindful." And so I'm saying here that we can learn to monitor our internal world in mind and brain, and then modify it so that we can cultivate presence as not only an intentionally created state, but as an enduring trait in our lives, end quote. So another important piece of information is being aware of your states not only leads to modifications in your behavior for you, but it influences your relationships with others. Because as we can imagine, the people that Carol was able to connect more comfortably with would experience her as a more receptive listener. She might be able to use skills of reflecting back to them what they were sharing. She might demonstrate curiosity, empathy, compassion, which would lead to a nicer connection. And so Carol created possibility once she identified her state of mind and physical well-being. And in these moments, she was really transformed. She gained self-respect within, intimacy with others, which enriched her life in those moments. So in the absence of fear, her brain did not produce fight or flight responses, and there was no overload of the hormone cortisol, which is what we've been talking about for a number of weeks now. When we're stressed out, when we perceive danger, we can go into that fight or flight reaction, and the hormone cortisol does surge in your body and does not help you get through. So presence involves identification of triggers where you realize negativity can produce spacey feelings and tension, like Carol did. And then she was able to evaluate, this is not good for me. I feel isolated. I feel unhappy. This is a drag. And then she was able to extend her thinking into, what can I really do to shift this experience? And she elected to breathe, to focus, and to tune in. While maintaining a distance, Carol had begun her evening in a reactive state. She was disengaging and she was closed. And when she became aware of this, she was able to be open to the present. Presence is really an actively receptive state. And so to bring it down to our day-to-day living, in yoga, I noticed that the instructors direct us to breathe, to the breath, as we move in and out of positions. And being in the moment is not simply achieved by directing attention to a concept of being in the moment, but we have to do something different, like focus on breathing, like focus on deepening the breath, for example, in yoga and meditation, in order to create change. Action, not an intellectual concept like let it go or be here now, is going to get you there, is going to create change. If we develop the habit of checking in to our body, mind signals, we can recognize that anticipation and projection can be at play, which might be creating worry and discouragement, interference with what is and what could become of the present moment. This morning, a little while ago actually, as I was crossing Mud Bay where I live, I thought about talking on the radio this morning and I felt a little anxious. I wondered, is this going to be helpful, what I have to say? Will I be able to communicate with clarity? And I really noticed that a bit of negativity was shadowing my experience, my feelings. And I made a conscious decision to stop. I looked out to the edge of the peninsula, to the long fingers of gold seagrass bending at the tide's pull in the creek. And I really had no choice at that moment but to breathe deeply this early morning into myself, which caused me to chuckle to myself because I realized that I had exercised myself into the present, drinking the joy of the moment. So with that, I wish you much joy in your moments. Until next time, have a good day.
Thanks, Robin. That's fantastic.
Thanks, Emily. I hope you have a nice day.
Thank you. You too. Have a good week. And okay. We'll see you again next week.
Next week.
For Shrink Wrap, which is on Monday mornings at 8:45 with Robin Grace.